Oh, good morning. For you guys who don't know, my name's David McQueen. I'm a friend of New River. If I don't sound like I'm from around here, I'm not. I'm from Texas, and I've been blessed to know Keith and Megan. I knew Keith when he was 17 years old. I actually coached him in basketball. He was not as good as he thought he was, but that's okay. But I want to tell you guys how proud I am of you. I understand that a church setting aside their pastor for a sabbatical is a big step. And it can create questions, it can create thoughts, but I want you to hear what this is all about. It's an act of prophetic wisdom on your part. Ecclesiastes 10 says that when the axe is dull, it requires more strength. But with wisdom comes success. It doesn't take much for us to figure out what that means. I was with a young man about 20-some-odd years ago, and he had lived in the Northwest, but they were from Texas, and his dad asked him to bring back some mesquite wood. Maybe you've heard of mesquite grilled barbecue, big thing in Texas. Mesquite wood is like a weed in our area. And so he said, my dad wants a box of mesquite wood. So I said, let's go out and chop some down. And it's a really easy thing to do. We grabbed an axe that I had, and we started trying to chop it. And, man, it wasn't going anywhere at all. I mean, it took both of us, who were relatively young men at the time, a lot of extra effort, a lot of exertion, just to get a copy paper box full of that wood. And I was thinking, man, was it so hard? And in the middle of the night, I woke up and said, never in my life have I sharpened that axe. And it probably took us about five times as long as it should have if we had taken 10 minutes to sharpen the axe before we did it. And what Ecclesiastes tells us is that the wise person takes time to make sure their life is sharp, not to be selfish, but so that we can be effective. And wise churches, I think, do that with their leadership as well. And what you guys are doing is you have set aside some time so that a leader can be sharpened, so that for the days ahead and all God's calling this church to be a part of. See, I don't know if you sense it or not, but I've been driving around your area for the week. There's something God wants to do in a tremendous way in this area. I mean, you don't have to go to be missionaries in this area. God's bringing everybody to you. And he wants you to be a part of, not the totality of it, but there's something you carry that is a part of what God wants to do in a big way in the days ahead. So I'm just going to tell you right now, this church in 10 more years will not look like it looks today, because there is something you carry, something that we're to carry more of, and we're sharpening our leaders. And I hope that you in your life, maybe sometime I can come back and talk about keeping our act sharp for all of our lives, but I just applaud your elders and I applaud you as a church for this season to say, hey, we're going to be wise. We're going to make sure our leader is sharpened and our people are sharpened so that we can move forward in what the Lord has. So, man, I just bless you guys in that. And pray that during this time you can walk and grow in something that we carry. We started talking about last week. We started talking about the peace of God. But we're not only supposed to have peace with God. I'm sorry, it's what we talked about last week. We're supposed to have the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4 is the Bible passage we're going to be in today if you want to be a part of it, because I think there's something that God wants to give us in increasing measure, and as we walk in it in increasing measure, we draw people. Paul prayed in to the church of Rome, but to us, he said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Come on, how many of you want peace in your life? Like a peace that's irrational, that you may overflow with hope. So we're supposed to overflow with hope, joy, and peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't just happen. It happens purposely. Paul talks in Philippians chapter 4 about a peace that's irrational, a peace that transcends understanding. And I've tasted of it and learned to walk in it a little bit more in my life, but I've tasted of it in radical ways. There was a day back in 2021, March 21st, it'll just always kind of be in the minds of our family. I had just gotten back from a trip, and my wife and I had just eaten some good old Tex-Mex, and I get a phone call. It's my son, and he said, Dad, I need you to pray. He said, there's been an accident, and Liam's been run over. He thought I was still on the trip, and he said, we don't know what's going to happen, so you know, I said, I'm headed that way. So I go to the hospital, and my Liam, who was our almost three-year-old grandson, had been struck by a vehicle and run over, and they really didn't know what was going to happen. The doctor, who I knew, just said, hey, it's serious. In Abilene, where I live, we don't have the ability to take care of children that young, so they care flight them to the Metroplex, to the Dallas area, and they were setting things up. They were getting him stable to care flight him. We get him on an airplane, and his mom goes with him, and then I take my son in the vehicle to the Dallas area, and I drop him off. This is in 2021. COVID restrictions were still in the hospital, so I can't even get in. And so I end up going back to the hotel room like at 2 a.m. That night all by myself. Now, I'm going to confess to you right now, the story is a whole lot easier to tell because God gave us mercy and healed my grandson. Listen to me. God still does today. I understand the wrestle. My grandson was messed up. I mean, he had multiple skull fractures, multiple pelvic fractures. I mean, I'm not trying to be crass, but the tire had run right across his body and stopped right at his head. He had concussions and all that, but he experienced from after the first day, no pain. 4 days later, we took him home. He never experienced any pain. I could tell you more and more stories. His local pediatrician who goes to our church, good friend, said, David, I was watching everything. He said, the miracle is all the things that should have happened in this never happened. His brain never swelled. His liver never did this. It just, et cetera, et cetera. And guys, even as I tell stories, I will tell you, there's parts of me that still feel guilty about it. I know that's weird. The first person I saw at church on Sunday, that happened on a Tuesday. We brought Liam back home on a Saturday. I was preaching at our church on Sunday. And the first person I saw was the widow of one of my dear friends who had died of COVID 3 months earlier. And we had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for him. And God chose not to give a miracle to him. I understand the tension of this world. I understand the tension of Acts chapter 12. You need to read it sometimes. Acts chapter 12 starts three verses, and there's an apostle by the name of James. Like, if you know Jesus had three close disciples, Peter, James, and John. James is one of the three, and three verses, and he's put to death. Then the rest of the chapter is about Peter, also one of the three, and Peter's put in prison, also about to be put to death, but he is miraculously released. So we have not a miracle, and we have a miracle. And I've been there a lot in my life. There have been times that I've been on the receiving ends of miracles, and there have been times that I've asked for miracles that God didn't give them. And I've discovered I have to battle for truth in my mind in both situations, amazingly. But part of the story that I want to pass on to you is what happened in the hotel room that night. Because that first night that I was in the hotel, and we had no idea what was going to transpire, my mind is overwhelmed, I'm exhausted. And all I can do is not really pray a lot. All I knew to do was to pray in tongues and to ask God for peace. And I know not everybody in the Christian world believes in the gift of tongues. And if that's a stumbling block for you, just don't worry about it right now. There's a lot of Jesus followers who don't believe in that. It's all okay. We can talk about that later. I do, and it was helpful that night. Do with what you want. Romans chapter 8. And I would pray some in tongues, and I'd go, peace, Lord, we need peace. And I knew peace in the Hebrew language is more than just the absence of something. It is a word that means wholeness, body, soul, and spirit. We needed wholeness. We needed peace on my grandson. I needed peace on my kids who were laboring over him. I needed peace in my room. And after doing that for I don't know how long, it came. It's just irrational. I can't explain to you. But what Paul talks about in Philippians 4:6, the peace that transcends understanding, I had it. And there was a part of me that could just say, Lord, no matter what happens to Liam, you are good. And your grace will be sufficient to see our family through anything. I don't want him to die. But even if he does, you are good and we will make it. But I'm asking for peace to hit that room in Jesus' name. And there was just a sense of God's presence that I had never experienced any other time. And I slept for like 3 hours. I woke up and I'd like to tell you it was still there, but it was not. And I again began to have to battle for this thing called peace. And as soon as I say that, battle for peace, there's a part of you go, yeah, I get that. I get the wrestle, I get the struggle. Come on, we are a nation that is battling for its mental health, right? A nation that's battling for what's going on in our mind. You know, I can tell you statistics. I mean, it's interesting. The American Institute of Health estimates 75 to 90% of visits to primary care doctors are related to stress. The American Medical Association says stress is a factor in 75% of all illnesses. Many social scientists tell us that this current generation, Generation Z, is the most anxious, the most depressed, the most struggling with mental health of any generation that has existed in American history, including, by the way, the generation of the Great Depression. You get what I'm talking about, right? Most of us feel this. It's an interesting time we're in. Please hear me. I understand this. Long before we were talking about words like anxiety, depression, and mental health, I had it, man. From as long as I can remember, I can worry with like the best of you. Growing up, I would worry. My dad would tell me, son, you just gotta relax. Like, son, you gotta be a kid. He said, you just born an old soul. He would tell me I was wound tighter than a two-bit fiddle. Any of y'all ever heard that, right? And I was like, I had no idea what a two-bit fiddle was, but I knew I needed to relax. My junior year of high school, I was hospitalized with stomach pain, with abdominal pain. And they did a lot of tests. By the way, some of those should be outlawed by the Geneva Convention. They were wrong to do. But in the end, you know what they found out? I had stomach ulcers. And I realized that not all stomach ulcers are the result of worry. I earned mine with worry. I know exactly what anxiety is and have had to battle for this thing called peace. So over the course of the decades, I've learned some things, just some things that I have to deal with, a natural tendency in my life, but I think it's become normative in the American culture. See, at the end of this little section in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul summarizes. And he says in verse 9, you can look at it. He said, what you learned in me, what you received, what you've heard, what you've seen in these, notice this phrase, practice these things. Say practice. Practice these things, and then the God of peace will be with you. Now that word practice, we know what it means. It means to do something regularly. It means to do something habitually. It means to do something daily in life. Listen to me, if you want to battle for this thing called peace in the midst of a world that has a lot of anxiety tied to it, Paul says, practice these things. Don't wait till you need it. One of the biggest mistakes we make, I think, in the Christian life is we wait till we need something to try to gain the skill that we need at that moment. I've had a lot of people say, man, I need to hear God on this. And I've asked them, it's like, well, have you been listening for God? See, if we wait until we need to hear God to learn to hear God, it's too late. We need to hear God, and then along the way, he's going to show us things. These skills are also part of this reality. Apparently, believe it or not, 21st century Americans are not the first ones to struggle with the peace, because Paul's talking about it here, and he tells us this. He says, practicing spiritual habits increases our peace of mind. Now, listen, I know that sounds like a little old school. That sounds churchy. But what if kind of the old school churchy things are the right answer? Can we admit that facets of the American experiment are not working well for us? When I grew up, I was told that if you had enough money and enough stuff, you would be fine. Now, America is the wealthiest nation in the history of human existence. We have more wealth distributed among more masses of people than ever in the history of humanity. Has it brought us peace of mind? We have scientific advancement. We have technological advancement. I live in an area where, believe it or not, Abilene's not known for technology till now. We are actually in this hub of the AI world now. We have AI centers being built all around us. So all the talk, man, we got Oracle there, we've got Google there, we've got all these people that are like, we are the first. You hear about these AI centers, we are the first in our area. And ask yourself, are people really excited about all that AI can do for us? And sometimes it's like, yes. And the other side of it is, it creates a lot of anxiety about what about this, what about this? It's not resolving everything, is it? We have wealth, we have technological and psychological advancement, and yet more than ever, we have mental health wrestles and struggle. I'm going to suggest to you that maybe what we need to do is we need to go back to some foundational things of our faith. What Paul encouraged in Philippians chapter 4. See, the practice of spiritual habits increases our peace of mind. So you go back to verse 4, and the apostle says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm going to say it, rejoice. So the practice of praise increases peace. See, I think one of the biggest mistakes we make is we underestimate what worship and music do in our life. We underestimate the power of song in our life. There is something about music that gets deep, deep, deep within us. So when I was growing up, I really didn't know about the power of music. And so I listened to a wide variety of music, things that probably weren't good, not probably, they were not good for my soul in the 70s and 80s and things like that. Later, I began to understand. I began to try to watch the diet of my mind. Now I'm like really old. I'm 40 and 50 years removed from those songs. I work out in a gym, and sometimes they play 70s and 80s rock music that I haven't listened to in decades. And you know what? I know every lyric. I know every song. It just comes inside of us because that's what song does. See, the scripture says, Proverbs 18:21, that the power of life and death are in the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who know its value will take advantage of it. Words have power. Add music to the words and it multiplies its power. And so we have to be a people who take advantage of this. Words have the power of life. They have the power of death. So we just take advantage of it for life. That, by the way, if you've ever wondered, that's why Christianity is a singing faith. Have you ever, let's just get honest, have you ever wondered why like a group of people get together and sing songs on a Sunday? It's like, really? We act like we don't do this any other time. Why is it that we do this? The scripture actually commands you and I. It references singing over 400 times. It commands, say command. Commands us 50 times directly to sing to the Lord. And if you add commands like rejoice, give praise, and things like that, then the number of commands greatly, greatly multiplies. Why is that? Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Then notice, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgivings to God. So there's a connection. Our singing of our songs lets the word of Christ dwell in the reality of who we are. Singing songs lets the word of Christ dwell in our minds. What they do is they dig a trench inside of our brain and allows his word that brings life to us. Guys, I understand that for some of us, this practice is not natural. I'm one of those guys. I'm not musical in the least. I have no rhythm. I have no ability to like keep pitch on a song, anything like that. What's interesting is the church that helped lead me to Jesus, they picked me on my own the bus. They didn't even use musical instruments. It was four-part harmony church. I can't sing any of the harmonies. I can't sing melody. I can't sing any of the harmonies. I can't do any of that. So what I would do is just sit there and not sing at all. You know, the scripture says, Psalm 95, oh, come, let us sing with the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the Lord, to the rock of our salvation. Joyful noise is me. Nothing whatsoever. To be really honest with you, like, I couldn't even watch American Idol. Not because I thought American Idol was bad, but there was always, every show in American Idol, there was somebody that was trying out that couldn't sing. And I could not handle their embarrassment. It's like, I felt bad for them. It's like, I think they need better friends in their life to tell them some things and such. Now I realize they're probably paying those people to try out and make fools of themselves, which I might have done that reality in life. But what I discovered along the way, believe it or not, is I need to sing. I need to praise. I need to worship. And so I just got to where I didn't care. I was going to do it. I was thankful when I became part of churches that used musical instruments, and then I became part of a church, and I just said, turn up the music so I can sing as loud as I want to sing. And then the people around me would sometimes say, well, the music's too loud, and I was like, come sit by me, and they'll say, yeah, we need to turn it up a little bit more. It's what we need to do. There's something that song rejoices does when we come together in our lives. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? I can tell you this, when the day of intense battle came for my grandson, I sat in that room, and songs started coming to me. There's a song that was popular about that time called Raise a Hallelujah, and I knew the story behind the song. And I was singing that song, but then in the midst of it, hymns that I had sung about the greatness of God and the goodness of God from the old days started coming to me. And I was singing How Great Thou Art, and I was singing Amazing Grace, and things that had been foundational in my life for years. You want a strong mind? You want peace in the midst of this world? You practice spiritual habits. We don't talk about them. We practice them on a regular basis. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. So you don't wait for just Sundays. By the way, that's why Sundays is important. Us getting together, but you do it in your car, you do it at your house, you rejoice in the Lord always. The scripture goes on, verse 5, let your reasonableness, some of your translations say gentleness, be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And notice the pause, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The practice of prayer increases peace. And I understand you say, yeah, we've heard that. I didn't say prayer increases. I said the practice of prayer. Have you ever noticed that one of the hardest things to do in your life is to actually pray? Almost like the forces of hell are trying to keep you from doing that. I think one of the biggest mistakes that we make when we come to prayer is we have this idea that there is a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. That there's some sort of formula. There's some sort of, I've got to have these right words said in the right way. You know, I grew up in kind of a church time where the most eloquent of people led public prayers. Man, they could pray and they could string together the words and they sounded so spiritual. And I didn't sound like that by myself. And because I didn't feel like I was eloquent enough or spiritual enough, I couldn't phrase the right words together, I just wouldn't pray. And I began to understand that the Father doesn't care about that. It's a lie of the enemy. The scripture says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Fear that I'm not saying things the right way. Fears that I'm not eloquent enough. But you received a spirit of adoption, and by that spirit we cry, Abba. In the ancient language, Abba means daddy. It's the cry of a little child coming to their father. I have 3 kids. I have 4 grandkids. Every one of them talks to me in different ways. You know what? I could care less about how they talk to me as long as they talk to me. I love it when they, well, at least most of the time I love it. I love it when they talk to me and come to me and want me to be a part of their life. See, what God wants us to do is not worry about the how. He wants to worry about the relationship. Come to him like a child. See, here's the truth. You know what anxiety is? It's just kind of lies talking to you. You know, have you noticed anxiety talks to you in your head? It's like a song track. Uncertainty talks to you in your head. Fear talks to you in your head. Don't talk back to that. Take those things according to scripture and talk to God. We take all these things. Do not be anxious about anything but in everything by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And we practice regularly talking to God. We practice regularly coming to him. And you know what happens? Peace becomes a more normative part of our lives. Practicing spiritual habits. Hear the Lord say practice. It's not a matter of talking about it. It's a matter of practice. See, here's what I want to be able to do. Is tell you something right now that we just have a change of thought and it takes care of everything. What I can't do is I can't do your life for you on Tuesday. To be honest with you, I struggle enough with my life on Tuesdays. I don't have a grace to do your life. What I can tell you is based on scripture, there are things that have to become normative in our lives. Spiritual habits that the forces of hell keep us away from. The reason is because they keep us from God's presence, they keep us from his peace, they keep us from caring to the level we want to live out our purpose in the world. And we have to once again get back to kind of this old school thing of practicing spiritual habits. The text goes on in verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything of excellence, anything worthy of praise, notice this, think about these things. So the practice of chosen focus produces peace. In 1957, the United States Army created an acronym. I don't know if you know anything about the military, but everything in every military branch is acronyms. So it shouldn't surprise us at all. And you may not recognize the acronym, but you'll recognize immediately what it stands for. The acronym is GIGO, G-I-G-O. You know, I don't know what that means. But you have heard the phrase garbage in, garbage out. Most of the time, it is applied to computer programming. It is actually, honestly, being applied to AI right now. Everyone's talking about what AI can do, but they're also talking about who's behind it. And what are they putting into it? If they're putting garbage into it, guess what you get out? You get garbage. That reality, garbage in, garbage out, true of our mind. Whatever we put in is what we're going to get out. See, many of us, man, I just want to be brutal here. Many of us are struggling with peace of mind, anxiety, fear, things like that. And if we look at our days, we're filling our minds with crap. And that's the nicest word I could come up with to talk about what it is we're putting into our brains. Listen to me. If our days are full of talk radio, if it's full of 24/7 news shows, if it's done, if it's this all the time, and that's what we are focusing our brain on over and over and over and over again, then what should we expect to be the result of that? The struggles of anxiety, the struggles of fear, the mental health issues that we are facing right now. Guys, don't mishear me. I am not saying that a Christian can never watch CNN or Fox News, despite what people say. I'm not saying you can never engage in social media. I'm not saying you can't engage in entertainment. But we are told clearly in Scripture, if we want the God of peace to be with us, if we want peace to be what's part of our brain, if we desire soundness of mind, then we must practice well what we choose to focus upon. And it's one of the biggest issues in our nation because we got everything vying for our attention. It's just coming at us, everything. Do you know the average American right now, believe it or not, receives 35,000 commercial stimuli a day? 35,000 well-crafted messages all designed to get your attention. Come on, let's be honest. How many of you have picked up your phone to do one thing? And then 30 minutes later, you can't remember the original thing that you picked up your phone to do because you got distracted with all the notifications, all the things going on, et cetera, et cetera. Come on, honesty time, hands up right now. The rest of you are liars, is what you are. We all do, because all these things are coming at us all the time. Like right now, some of you have had your phone ding several times during the message. And there's a part of you that really like wants to say that I really want to look at it. There's actually a thing, they call it a faux alarm. Like, have you ever felt your leg vibrate and your phone wasn't really vibrating? We've so tuned our attention to it that we create it in our legs. We're choosing to focus upon these things. If we're filling our minds with that, guys, then we've got to expect that the result is going to be something negative in our life. Garbage in, garbage out is true. But guess what? The inverse is also true. See, just like words have the power of death or life, we can choose, is it going to be death or is it going to be life? And all the scripture is saying is make sure you use your words for life. Same thing is true with what we focus upon. If garbage in, garbage out is true, then guess what? Honorable in means honorable out. Peace-filled in means peace-filled out. Pure in means pure out. Practicing chosen focus, making sure in the midst of all the things that are going on, we have a gaze fixed upon the one who alone can be the source of peace in our mind is what is going to bring peace to you and I. And so we got to get in practice of that. There is this radical thing, I don't know if you've heard of it yet, called the Bible. And you have it in all forms and fashions. It is interesting that there's nations of the earth where we're having to smuggle Bibles in. And they're memorizing portions of Scripture so they can pass on that portion of Scripture. And we are inundated with the Bible. We've got it on our phone. We've got how many paper copies around. All we got to do, you don't have to buy a Bible anymore. And yet we wrestle to actually read it. We can just choose to read it. We can do this radical thing called memorize it. Because there are scriptures that in times of need that will come out of the deep parts of your soul when we have memorized that. But we can also take a thing called a quiet walk. We can meditate on creation and the God of creation. We can listen to and engage in worship music during that time. We can get together with friends, and we don't have to talk about the Titans. We don't have to talk about the Sharks. We don't have to talk about, in our world, the Cowboys, because this is the favorite complaint of a Texan, is to complain about the Cowboys. You can talk about those things, but what if we talked about life-giving things? What if we talked about what the Lord was showing us? What we encouraged one another? What if we spurred one another on in our faith? We can have these kind of life-giving conversations, and they do. We can do this thing. This is right. There are a thing called a book, and we can read books. And those books can help focus our minds on what's going on. But if you can't do the book thing, you can listen to books. There are life-giving podcasts. There are life-giving facets on social media. Not much, but there are some. There are things that can help focus our mind. Just in the midst of all that's vying for your attention, what you choose to give the attention of your mind to will change the reality, will determine the reality of what goes on in your brain. Are you hearing what the scripture says? Paul says, I taught you some things. You learned it from me. You saw me practice it. You received it from me. You heard it from me. He says, what you have learned, what you have heard, what you have seen, what you have received from me, practice these things. And what? The God of peace will be with you. So I have this radical thought. I think the Lord wants to do something significant today to help us in the days ahead to practice some of these things. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is just bow your heads and ask ourselves if we're ready. I mean, come on. I want you, just as you're there, I want you to think about it. Maybe the gift of COVID, and that's a hard phrase to put there, but God says he works in all things for the good of those who love him. So even in COVID, he can work for our good. And maybe one of the gifts of all the negatives of COVID was that maybe it showed us that mentally we aren't as ready for this world as we think we are at times. You know, it's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to stay not okay. The first step to making a change is realize, hey, maybe I'm not quite as strong. Maybe I'm not as resilient. Maybe my mind's not where it needs to be, but it doesn't have to stay there. I mean, one of the greatest gifts we can give to our kids in this day and age, listen to me, is a gift of resilience, gift of mental toughness, and teach them how to do things, teach them how to think certain ways. There's a reality that no matter how much material prosperity we have, no matter how much scientific advancement we have, no matter how much technological change we have, life will remain hard. Life will not become what we dream of it becoming until the king returns to finish what he has begun. So until then, we have to live in a world in which Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but you can take heart. I have overcome the world. He said, in me you can have peace. And as we carry peace in this world, something different, guess what people around us are wanting to be a part of? They're going to say, I want what you have. How did you get that? And you're going to say, what I have is not a what, it's a who. His name is Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. And as we walk more in this, that we partner with him, I believe peace can become our norm. So I feel like today can be a day of breakthrough for us. A day that what I tasted in a hotel room one evening can become increasingly normative in our life. I don't know that until heaven that we're going to get it totally normal. But I believe it can become increasingly normative. I believe we're supposed to walk in it more and more. That we're supposed to go from glory to glory to glory. We're supposed to live in more and more heavenly reality. And here's what I can tell you. Heaven is the fullness of peace. So the question is, not do we want peace? Not do we want wholeness of mind? The question is, are we willing to ask God for the courage and the grace to help us do the things that he told us we need to do so that we can walk in that we can practice these things? And so what I want to do is I want to ask you to take a step right now and consider, Lord, I need to take some steps. And I'm going to ask you in a moment just to confess, Lord, I need help to do this. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and then we're going to pray for each other. But like, maybe you need to become a person of praise. I mean, you come to church, but the song part of church is hard for you. Outside of here, it's hard for you. I get that. You may say, I'm not musical, I'm not vocally gifted. I get all of it. That doesn't take away the need for praise. And maybe there needs to be a shift in your mindset. I find this particularly true of men, believe it or not. I think it's one of the ways the enemy keeps us from the Lord. I think manhood is in this beauty of being a warrior, being a worshiper. And if you would say, man, I'm a person who wrestles with praise, I need a breakthrough in what's holding me back and rejoicing in the Lord always. And I'm asking God to give me grace for that. That means you're telling God, God, I want to take steps in this. I want to take steps in this room. I want to take steps in the days ahead. If that's you and you're willing to do that, say, God, I want to be a person of praise in an increasing ways. Put your hand up right now and say, Lord, I need that. Come on, I get that. I get that. If you want to be a person of prayer, a person who practices prayer on a regular basis. We don't have to put ourselves in this thing of, well, I've got to do it this long, this much. You got to find your rhythms. I'm just going to tell you right now, like, I have a hard time sitting and praying. But if I'll go on walks and I pray out loud, those are things that have been key to me. So I walk my neighborhood with my dogs talking, and I'm sure my neighbors think I'm crazy because they think I'm talking to myself. Don't care. I get up early enough. Most of them aren't up anyway. It's not a spiritual thing. It's an old man thing. However you do it, you're just saying, I need to practice prayer. Not talk about it, not talk about how good it would be, not even agree with it, that it's powerful. I need to practice prayer regularly in my life. I need to practice it, and I need God's grace to help me practice prayer. I want that to be true. Put your hand up right now. Say, God, help me. I get it. Let's talk about the things we think on. Maybe we need to break some stuff. Some of the guys, I just want to say right now, I'm not going to isolate this, but there are things coming in via our phones, via our computers, that are ungodly and unrighteous. We know how rampant pornography is. The gambling thing that's coming in right now, that's taking hold of people in some addictive ways, and the stuff there, what we just focus so much upon the sporting stuff. Maybe it's not negative. Maybe it's just there. It's taking our attention, but it's keeping us away from what we need to focus on the most. I was reading in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, it says, let us throw off every weight and hindrance, every sin and hindrance. So we don't just throw off the sins. We throw off any hindrance that keeps us from the ideal that God has for us. And maybe some of the things of this world that are neutral, it's just kind of entertainment and casual, whatever the case may be, but it's too much in our lives. And we know it needs to take a proper place in our life, and we need to focus more on Him who will give us peace. We need time for our word. We need time for prayer. We need time for walks. We need time for meditation. We need time. You just know what I'm talking about. You know that's you. And you say, Lord, I want to break through in this area, and I want to think about the things that are honorable and righteous and pure and lovely, trustworthy, praiseworthy, excellence. I want them to be true in my life. Give me grace to take that step. Raise your hand up right now and say, God, I need that. Yeah. Yeah. And I just want to pray for men and women who might need a miracle, especially in terms of, you would just say anxiety, kind of a normal part of my life. I don't say this to invoke guilt on us. I just don't think we're going to worry in heaven. So if we're not going to worry in heaven, maybe by the grace of God, we can worry less here and here. And that takes a miracle of God. You just say, I need less worry. when the scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, there's a part of you that's like, man, I wish that was true of my life. I get it. I wish I could tell you I've whipped it. I haven't, but it's better. And I think it can become increasingly better. And I just want to pray for a breakthrough. If you want a breakthrough, especially in terms of anxiety, fear, depression, things like that, put your hand up right now and say, Lord, I need that in my life. I want it. Yeah, I get it. Father, we say together, we hear you. We hear what was inspired of you from the apostle. And he says, hey, you learned things from me. You saw things in me. You heard things from me. Practice these things. And so, Father, I pray that we would have a grace. I pray that this people would be known as a people of praise. We'd be known as a people of prayer. We'd be known as a people who are focused in, whose minds are set on things above, not on things below. Father, we don't take that lightly. There's nothing new for most of us in here. It's not a matter of knowing. It's a matter of living. It's a matter of obeying. It's a matter of practicing. So I pray that there would be a grace on all of us as we live our Monday through Saturday life, that this would become a normative part, that you'd begin to show right now by the power of your Spirit, show individuals what they need to do, how they are to live it out, the steps they are supposed to take. Spirit of God, just show us right now. And we say yes to that. We say yes to it in Jesus' name. And Father, this thing that has become normative in our age, anxiety, fear, darkness, a work of the enemy, we say no to it. It is not the way your sons and daughters are to live. And so not under guilt, but under a desire for you to do something, would you rewire our brain to so radically trust in you that it eliminates the worry? I pray that you would give faith to men and women in this room. I pray that you'd give rest, not just rest that comes from not doing, but just a sense of certainty of your absolute control. We declare your sovereignty. We declare your goodness in the midst of this fallen world. I declare over these men and women that they will know that the steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered of you, that you're going to guide them, that you are working in all things for their good. Even the things that are difficult, we don't call them good, but you are at work for good because you are good. When things are hard and when things are great, you say, oh Lord, that we will be a people. You say, blessed is the man and woman whose mind is fixed on you. You give us peace because we trust in you. So I pray for that, Lord. Let our minds be fixed totally on you, your goodness. Let us be radical for the sake of what you want to do in us. But Father, there are seats in here that need to be filled with people from this community. They need peace. They need hope. Let us carry it so well that they will be drawn to it. Father, we love you. Thank you that you came that we could have abundant life. Let us live and step into it, I ask in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen and amen. Come on, let's stand up. If Jesus is awesome and worthy of praise, give him a clap, give him a shout. Come on right now. Jesus, you are worthy. Come on. New River, you are a blessing. I hope you hear what it is that your name carries. Rivers bring life. I'm from Texas, and what little water we had, we put a dam on it, and there's no water in our creeks. There's no water in our rivers at all. If there is, it lasts for a little while, then it goes into a lake, and that's how we do stuff. And I was driving through here, and I saw like rivers everywhere. It's like there's a river here. They don't even make a big deal out of it. It's just so common. There's like a couple rivers y'all make a big deal. You just got water and rivers and stuff like that, and it's just around it are just life. You're a source of life to this community. And in the days ahead, man, just trust me, the life that he wants to bring to men and women through you. You may think, man, I don't, he will take us in our weakness, in our imperfections, and he will use us to bring glorious things. Just last week, they're not here today, there was a family who brought a man who works for them. He said he hadn't been to church. but like four times in his life. Anywhere, anytime. And the Lord did a work in his life just last week. And he wants to do that, listen, again and again and again and again through you guys. And not just through you guys, through the Church of Jesus of this county, amen? And may God give us grace and vision to see just that. So I think it's time for us to dismiss. I want you to know that if you need prayer about anything, after we dismiss the service, there are gonna be prayer partners down here. They would love to pray with you, be a part of things with you. What we do, hold out our hands and we receive God's blessings. It's interesting. It's a blessing of peace that comes from knowing God more. Listen to the words. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you. And from that, may we have peace. Peace that transcends understanding. Peace that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace that transcends understanding. Peace that overflows from our lives into the lives of others. I ask, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. And the people of God said, amen and amen. God bless you guys. Remember, we're right back here next week. Let's bring a friend with us and let's engage God together. We'll see you then. God bless.